everyone. Welcome to another episode of Verbal Mileage. We are your hosts. I am Yonit.
And I'm Aliza.
We're going to try and make this episode a little bit lighter after that really controversial, hard-hitting episode.
I know. People really, like, it resonated with a lot of people, I think.
I could not walk down the street. I got stopped by multiple people.
I believe actually one listener.
Three. Oh, no. What were you going to say?
Okay, so you got stopped on the street by three?
Is that what? Three or four, yeah.
Okay, I'm saying I believe one listener even called it our magnum opus.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic.
I was like, should we finish then? Have we done it? We've done what
That's
we set
it.
Out
That's
to
right.
Are we like, to
do? I know.
I mean, this is the one that if you're out there, and I know we have a few, and you are, you know, listening from somewhere that isn't Cleveland.
Right.
Please tell your friends, because this, at least amongst the Jewish
community
everyone at large.
Yeah.
These are really like, it's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah to listen to Verbal Mileage.
It's a mitzvah and a service.
Oh, if you tell someone to listen to Verbal Mileage.
And also, I'm saying specifically the Shabbat episode, and I feel like a lot of what we do, we're just airing what needs to be aired.
Yes.
And that's the mitzvah.
We're all thinking it.
Right.
So we're just saying it.
We stood up.
But I do think a lot of people listened and were like, oh, shit, is my kid the dumper? Or am I the overstayer?
So
or
maybe you need to look alive. Look alive. All right. Well, today, and we'll just get right into. But I wanted to talk about the upcoming holiday of Purim, which I enjoy, but you've experienced some trauma. So this year is going to be different for you, and we'll get into why. Mm-hmm. And I am just curious to talk about your pre-Purim trauma, and then we'll do a follow-up episode.
There's so much trauma associated with
and
Purim.
See if there was any improvement.
And I actually hating Purim. I feel like a Grinch because Purim is one of the most joyous holidays.
Yeah, it's fun. It doesn't come with the restrictions of other holidays.
Correct.
It's really just about like giving out candy.
It's just about joy.
You can yell in shul.
Yes. Can you ever? It's encouraged.
You can go boo.
Not only
in shul.
Can you, but it is encouraged to yell in shul.
Yeah.
And your kids can't. Well,
you're
only
dressed
that
up
moment.
Like an asshole. I'm not, but some people are.
Everyone's eating garbage all day.
Right. You get triangle cookies.
I know. You can drink.
Yeah.
It is. You're supposed to drink on Purim.
There's nothing bad about this holiday
except everything.
Okay. So I have to say, like, I really like living in Cleveland. I don't know.
Aww.
Well, because we lived in so many other places with these like quasi communities, and like you would like go to the shul, and that's where you would do your thing. But like
quasi community,
you know, it's kind of like you had to drum up your own joy. But there's a lot of joy around here, and what we do here is what I kind of have always wanted, which is like you actually go out and you go with your kids and you deliver mishloach manot to people. I know. We'll get to you in a second because I'm telling you what I love about it.
Fine. I'll hold back.
And then they get to, and sometimes you just see your friends walking and the kids will hop out of the car and they'll go, and then some families set up things at their house. And it's just, to me, it's like, yes, there's preparation, but for the kids, it's such like a fun, joyous day that they look forward to. And it's not, I mean, they do love hoarding all the candy, but also just like giving out and receiving. It's like very exciting, and we drive around, and it's a small enough, big enough community that you can kind of hit all the people. So it's nice, but go ahead.
And there's a lot of goings on.
Go ahead and ruin it. Go ahead.
Well, there's like a few things about. First of all, I'm always alone. That right off the bat.
Because a lot of times it's on a weekday.
Okay, so it's generally always on a weekday. Right. Like, I can't remember the last time it was on a Sunday. This year, you're saying it'll be different because it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I literally can't remember the last time that it was on a Sunday.
Right.
It's always on a weekday. And because there's not a lot of restrictions and you can drive and you can work.
Right.
Like, and Ellie always gets so few vacation days or he was a resident. It's never, like, quote, worth him taking off.
You would come for, like, the Suda, but you're not, like, taking off.
Exactly.
Right. And I didn't used to either. I think I was trying to get out early because usually there was, like, you know, a Suda at my shul or something.
Right.
So I'd pick up the kids from daycare or school. And then
I always took off because one of us had to take off.
Well, my kids up until now weren't even in Jewish school. So, like, it's not like they had off for Purim.
Oh, so they never, like, sell it? You never, like,
well,
did
so that's
Purim?
What we would do is we would go the night before. And then I would try to get out of work early that day and then get my kids and we'd go do the Suda. And, like, Alex would maybe meet us there.
Interesting.
Right. It wasn't very...
No. So even when Emma was, like... a baby, and she was just like with like a nanny. It was like her. We did like a nanny share with one other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would take off so that we could do perm together. Okay.
But then it's just you and the kids, which is sad. Right. I didn't want to do that either. That would suck.
So that sucks.
Like, I might as well work.
Also, when you have little kids and you're dealing with car seats and you're going in and out of car seats with costumes, that sucks.
The car seats sucks.
Sucks.
All of these things is a different revolution. As your kids get older, right, and you get to outgrow that, yes, and then they're the ones doing the delivery.
Yes.
You can just park your car.
Sit in the car and
they get
send
out.
Them.
Yeah. Yes. It becomes a whole different adventure.
Right. And so I guess I'm like slowly going to like get right into. I'm already starting to get into
and
that.
And this year, because it's Sunday.
Right. It'll be different. But in
Ellie
previous years.
Ellie will be
years,
home and you will have a co-driver.
Right. So in previous years, it's me by myself running around. Right. And Cleveland, people are kind of spread out too. We right have like different communities.
I said
communities.
Small, big. Like right you can.
But I'm like, there's different communities-ish.
You don't have to hit all those communities.
I'm not. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm not. I'm staying within my
also
little area.
What'd
you just do? Don't break my mug.
I did realize that, like, there were people the last few years where, like, I would go into their community, but I'm like, why am I always coming to you and you never to me?
So that's the other thing
so
that
I'm
pisses
picking them
me
off
off
the list.
That's the other thing that pisses me off about perm is the people, and again, I'm sorry if this is you, but also I'm not sorry. The people who have the attitude, like, I'm not delivering any Michelle Ochmanot. Right. Whoever comes to me, that's who gets and that's it. And it's like, well,
you're Purim Scrooge.
Yeah, well, it's like also like we would all, I would love to do that too. But then if we all said that, then no one would be delivering Michelle Ochmanot. Some of us have to go out there and deliver.
Create the joy.
And I hate that. I hate the people like, I'm just staying home.
What I want for you this year
is
to like just wash your brain of all the negativity because if you're not dreading all this stuff, but by the way, like for years I did things alone. Now our schedules have finally lined up.
Yeah.
The kids are a little bit older, whatever. And yes, like every holiday was a drag.
Yes.
Because I was sort of just like creating it and hoping my husband would pop in.
Right.
And it's very hard to drum up excitement with your kids when it's like, all I'm doing is working.
Right.
And in between, like, even though it's an exciting day, there's going to be fetching. There's going to be yelling.
Well,
there's going to be fighting.
Well, also, hard because there's certain obligations. Like, so I'm trying to get to McGilla reading, and I'm alone with the kids, and it's, like, balancing that.
So
like,
I have to say, and this is why I'm not the best Jew, like, right, honestly, yes, I think I always did or mostly tried to. Like, even as a resident, I would find ways to go do it. But if it's coming down to, like, you're sweating and you want to cry and you're dragging your kids, it's not worth it. God understands.
Well, I disagree with you.
But God understands.
Maybe, but I still important.
Are women even bound to this?
Yes, that is one of the bits.
It's
of
time bound.
No, I think Megilla is something that everyone
is obligated
to. But
I don't know. I think that like if you want
to. One of our more religious listeners, let us know.
I still think that if you want to slit your wrist at the end of the day, you listen to one. You make it to one. No, I'm sorry. This is me poskinning, and I just did it.
Well, I don't hold by your poskin.
You shouldn't. I think I always
did. I'm
still
obligated to
probably hear the Megillah. I don't even remember. I have made it every year.
I think Megillah is the one exception to the time-bound mitzvot that we have to do.
The thing is that, like, I think we always manage to do it, but I think that, like, if I, like, legit was depressed and I'm just in Megillah trying not to cry, I probably wouldn't bother.
Maybe. Anyway, I always did, and it always made it more stressful trying to juggle and trying to figure out. And the other thing I hate about Purim is, and actually this year we did do it, but is the family costume and the themed Michelle Ochmanot. And it's like,
I feel like what it is.
Okay,
I'm going to do some diagnosing
okay
on you right
do
now.
It. I know.
It's like, no, I think what it is that like, you have an image of, like, let's say people who are doing it right, or you look at other people and you're like, oh, they're having fun. And
with that attitude.
Yes. And instead of you saying, like, what's right for me, you're just begrudging them.
Yes.
You're like, oh, so we don't do a family costume, or like, my Michelle Ochmanot isn't themed. You know, instead of just being like, whatever, I did a fun one with my kids. I mean, Hamantashen with my kids this year. I'm a great mom. You don't have to be that. And you don't have to begrudge people who do.
Oh, no, I definitely
have
to begrudge
them. But you do. But that's what I'm saying.
I know.
I think that if you could let it go.
I have to just let go, of course.
You know what's interesting?
Yeah.
So I was good friends with my Chabad Rebbetzin in Ithaca. And she, I mean, we've lost touch. So I don't even know how many kids they have now. But, like, I think, like, by the time we left, like, she was younger than I. And I think she was on her fifth or sixth kid. And I had had my third. And, like, shop was closed. And I remember, like, saying something to her of, like, I don't know how you do this and whatever. And she's like, I really only do what I can handle.
Wow.
And I was like, Because I see, because also, like, it was Ithaca, so it's not like there were Jewish schools. So, like, she was, and she did a great job. She even took one of my kids in and did, like, Hebrew school on Sunday.
Wow.
Like, yeah. And wouldn't take money for it. Like, I gave a donation.
Yeah.
Like, true Chabad Rebbetzin, yeah. That she was my yeah. age, and we talked politics, and she was great. But, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, and I would say to her, like, if she's just so admirable the way she is, and she's like, I only really do what I can handle. And I've embraced that idea, because sometimes work forces you, let's say, to do things that you can't handle right. because you're there and you have to. But, like, when you look around your own life, because I feel that sometimes when I feel guilty, I'm like, oh, my kids have been watching TV all day. And you just have to give yourself a minute and be like, you know what? I'm just not feeling up to it today, and right. I'm only going to do what I can handle.
I know, and there are times that I can. I think with something like that, for me, it's more of an acceptance issue, because I always thought that I was going to be that mom and we were going to be that family. Like, that was always the image
I had. The costume family.
Yes, and the theme Michelle Hoffman-Ault family, and the mom who was a little more Pinteresty and had her shit together. And
so
I'm
what's
just,
stopping you, though?
Because I'm just not.
Because you don't want to. So if you don't find joy in it, why are you putting pressure on yourself?
I think I would find... I found joy in it this year doing it. We right. did it this year, and I did
you,
find
you
joy.
Said this is the last year you're ever going to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, because I just... I'm not actually creative. I'm exhausted. I don't okay. know. I'm
so
just...
Then maybe it's, why do you want to be something you're not? No, just love yourself.
Okay.
Maybe, when, so you're, how old are you, like 25?
Oh, shut up. I'm going to be 35 in like a week.
Okay. So I feel like 35 to 40, it makes a big deal. There was a lot of like
I
learning
know.
That happened.
Yes.
And as your elder, I do feel
my
like
elder, wiser friend.
Part of like embracing my happiness was letting a lot of
yes,
shit go.
I need to let it all go.
You need to let it
yes,
go.
Yes, I do.
And just be happy.
I know.
And like look for the good. This is a PSA for everyone. Look
yes,
at this.
Look at this.
But like look for the good in yourself and not feel like I need to do what they're doing.
Okay, because
that's
what always they're been doing my issue, though.
May not make you happy.
That's always been my issue.
I know, but grow up.
Fuck you.
I'm saying that's what happens between 35 and 40. Is you grow up and you embrace who you are and you do what you can do and right. you love what you can do. It's my same thing with like looking at my body and being like, my body isn't perfect, but I love what it can do. Right?
Yeah. And I wish I had that attitude. I'm not
well,
there.
Well, maybe in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Just keep chipping away.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Purim will be this different this year because Ellie will be on. Except I'm kind of worried that with Ellie around. I know.
Because he's such a sourpuss.
Yes! And like I have my list of like 40, 50, whatever people that I need to deliver right. to, and he's gonna be like, well, I'm not going there. No, I'm not driving
well,
somewhere.
Well, here's the funny thing about Ellie. Okay. Ellie will do anything you ask him to do. This is what I've seen.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sure there are some things that are too far, but like by and large,
yeah.
Ellie does what you want of him. But he's gonna be a sour.
Yes.
So you're gonna stop at a thing and you're gonna be like, go deliver him, and he's gonna be like, oh, he's gonna complain. But he's gonna do it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's gonna. It's there's a price that I have to pay, and that's his sourpussness.
Well, but don't you love that about him? I imagine you have to.
I guess so. I've learned to love it.
Or he can be the driver, and you be the one who gets out.
Oh, honestly, he will be the driver.
Emma is the one who gets out, right?
Yes, Emma, and now Audrey, and now Julia, and that's also.
Oh, well, Julia is a pain in the butt. Yes. Julia can only get out for her friends. That's the rule I would
Am
make.
Am I delivering to her friends? I guess so. Well, and that's also the thing is like some people do a family Michelle Hoffman-Ault and then each kid does their own.
I don't
like
do that.
I can't deal with that.
No,
there's
I don't
so
do it.
Much. And the fact that
also,
I have,
honestly,
like,
it gets expensive.
It gets
like,
very
the adult
expensive.
Ones usually have like some liquor in there.
I never do that. Fuck that.
I'm just saying, like, the adult ones are usually like,
yes.
they've got like nice chocolates and liquor.
Right, I know.
I'm like, no,
but even just,
I'm sticking with the lollipops and fruit
Even just
roll-ups.
Buying lollipops and fruit roll ups for how
I
many
know,
people?
It still sets us back separate $100.
Yes, yeah. and it's like. And then it's like
but
I
that's
have
the joy,
and
you
I have like
60
people on my list, and I don't know how to cut it back, but I also don't want to deliver to 60 people.
Well, the mitzvah is two, so that's the other thing, right?
I know.
Is the mitzvah? Is
it's gotten
two.
Out of hand.
I feel like what ends up happening is you see a lot of those people in
it
other
kind of
places
annoys me that
too.
You're so okay with Purim. Why are you like on the hating it?
Maybe
me.
You've never lived in places like I've lived where it was
I live
such
in
a
Cleveland
drought.
With you. No, I've lived in droughty places.
Okay, so isn't this so much better?
So much better.
Like my children used to be like, why do we have to do this? Like they would hate holidays because they're like, it's boring. Like we lived right. far away from the shul and we lived in cold places, so we wouldn't go and we were stuck at home all day and we couldn't watch TV. And I would like try to drum up excitement for holidays and it was just like, oh, it was like a drag.
Right.
But now they wear their costumes, they see their friends wearing costumes.
No, but my misery really needs company right now.
I'm trying. No. So this is the pre.
Okay.
And I want you to be more like, I'm smiling.
Well, and then
you want you to be more like me for the post. I want you to come back and be like, it was great. And next, and maybe if Ellie can't be around, we'll just sister wives it next year. Anyway.
All right, so I'll let you guys know how this perm goes.
I think it's going to be great.
And then there's all the, like, have the hooky goes at night, and then there's the one in the morning.
So that's the one problem with daylight savings. It's very late.
It's at 10 o'clock Saturday night.
Yeah, and actually I'm working, so I'm probably going to come straight from work to, I'll stop at home and change so I don't come in my scrubs. But
that sucks.
Yeah.
Your scrubs and your clogs and your nose ring.
Okay, the nose ring will stay, but the scrubs and clogs will come off.
Fine. Oh, there was something else I was thinking I wanted to say.
Wait, if it comes back to you, I just want to say the other day I was drinking coffee, and have you ever like taken like a big swig of coffee and then suddenly you have to cough?
No.
Really?
I don't know. Not that I can remember.
Okay. So I took a big swig of my coffee and I was like working over my computer, and like suddenly it was like a volcano about to erupt. Like it went in, my mouth was full, and I was like, there's nowhere for this to go. And I just spit it back into my cup.
And then did you drink it?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, you did.
I don't remember.
I would drink it. It's your own spit.
I don't remember, honestly.
But would you drink
but
it?
But I was like, I guess I would. Yeah. I think it might have been the tail end anyway. But I literally like took a big drink and then it was like I had to cough. And I was going to do a spit take on my computer, but instead I just spit it right back.
Yeah, don't do it on the computer.
Exactly.
I mean, I've done where I've taken a sip and I'm like, oh shit, it's hot. And I've spit it back in. Oh, same thing.
I did that once in the car because I I'm just
imagining.
Yes. I had microwaved it, put it into like a to-go cup, and then I was in my car and I took a big swig and it was fucking hot.
And then
hot.
What'd you do with it?
I spit it all over the place.
Like on yourself?
Not on myself, like into the console on the side. Yeah, it was gross. I was like, oh my God. Like I was so taken aback.
I've done that, but I've swallowed it because there was nowhere to go.
No, it was too hot. Like I would have burned. I would have needed to go to the burn unit. It was hot.
For your insides.
Would have had an esophageal burn.
Oh, man.
Wait, I have like a list as we always do. So yes. I'm just going to go down it. Kay. You caught me parallel parking the other day.
Yes. And what did I do?
And you came out and you gave me a nod.
A thumbs up.
You gave me a thumbs up?
Yes, I gave you a thumbs up.
I thought it was like a subtle nod.
Because everybody, when you do a parallel park on that car line.
This is the thing.
Everyone wants recognition for it.
It's carpool. When you go to pick up the early kid, the ECP kids, which are the kids, the babies through the kindergartners, we pull up right next to the school. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's
and
a car
line.
And I
have to say, 80% of the people there are shit parkers.
Yes. Probably more.
Right. They're trying to like get into a space where you should parallel park nose first and then their ass is hanging out.
Yes.
None of them understand like spatially. So they're all cautiously packing up and you could fit like an entire minivan
behind them.
I know.
And I'm like, move up.
I'm like, what are you worried about?
Yes. I hate that. I hate when there's so much
so room. Nobody knows how to drive. I'm like constantly just like.
But also the police officers suck at directing people.
They always do. So there's a police officer and they're watching to make sure the kid's crossing the street.
Yes.
And then they'll wave you, but they're literally sitting in the middle. I'm like,
I know. And then officer, I'm like, I'm going to run you over.
Officer, please move over.
Yes, I know.
And like, I also would love to pass.
Yes.
But I don't want to run over your toes.
It's only one, I find. There's one that is always in the way. Actually, some of them know that I hate parallel parking, and there could be a spot, and he'll like give me like a smile and a wave, and be like, "All right, I'll let you wait," and then he waits so that I don't have to sprint.
I feel the opposite. I feel like I'm getting recognition for my abilities.
You probably are.
And sometimes they see a parallel spot, and they're like, "She can go through."
It's your superpower.
Yes. And they're like, "She's not afraid, and we're not afraid of her."
Yeah, they're for sure like laughing. Like, oh,
I've been recognized.
Here's the one in the black Odyssey who can't parallel park.
And I'm even more honored because I don't know. Like, I feel like men always think that they can park better, but I love it when there's, like, a man who's, like, really struggling to get into a giant spot, and then I just nicely parallel
you
park.
You zip on in with your parallel
and
park.
And I'm like, don't you just want to die?
Well, really, what sucks is everyone's out there watching you. You got a whole audience when you parallel park.
I will say, even though I know I can do it, and it's, we have mirrors, so it's literally like.
And cameras.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in cameras. That they literally park themselves, basically. But even when I do it, I'm like, I feel like.
Yes, pretty, there's pressure.
There's pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm always a little bit relieved that it looks good.
Yeah, and it looks great. The one that I not, I was like, wow.
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. All you deserved that thumbs up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We need to talk. Oh, your mother-in-law. There was a few mother-in-law ones, I think.
Because I think I started to think of something, and then once I was on a roll, I was on a roll.
Okay.
My mother-in-law's baking in hall. Can I just see what this is? This is literally just stream of consciousness.
Yes.
So I think I was making...
My mother-in-law is baking, and also, how ripe is too ripe of a banana?
So what do you do with ripe bananas?
Banana cake. Right. Always.
Or, yeah, yes. Or banana bread or banana muffin.
But I also like my bananas slightly brown.
Right, but at some point it tips over the edge, and yes, that's the question: is how ripe is too ripe a banana? Right. And I could,
when it's all brown.
Right, so I could see the banana turning, and I was like, my kids aren't gonna eat this.
Yeah,
and I put it in the fridge, and I don't think I got to it till 2 days later, mm, and so it was like pretty much like black.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm still gonna go for this.
And you ate it?
I don't know, I made banana bread.
Oh yeah, well, banana bread you can make.
But then I was like, how ripe is too ripe a banana? Like, at some point does it turn over just into this is rotten? All right, so, but then it reminded me of when my mother-in-law was here once, and I made banana bread, because we were probably, mm-hmm, had some rotten bananas, and my mother-in-law loves to do this thing where she just, like, states things as fact, even though she doesn't know anything. Like, she'll just be like, oh, and you didn't have to whatever, and I was like, what is your
basis? I think I do that sometimes.
But, like, this was the example. So, I had made banana bread, and I'm going to be honest, the recipe I used, it probably takes, like, a full cup of sugar. I'm not not putting, yeah. I'm not
it's
putting
not
sugar.
Healthy. It's not no, like no, a healthy
it's cake.
Yes. I don't even call it bread. It's banana cake.
You did call it banana cake.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's because my grandmother used to make
it. I make
banana
it into
cake.
A loaf and that makes it a bread.
No, I make mine into a loaf and that makes it a loaf cake. Cake.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, there's plenty of sugar in it. It's not healthy. Right. No.
Is that why it's even called banana bread? Because it's in a loaf shape?
I think technically it's like a quick bread.
Is it?
Because it splits down the middle.
I should know this. I took food science.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a whole food science lab. It's actually really cool. Hmm. I loved it. I took a ton of food science classes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why don't you know this?
I don't know. Because it was like 20
years
ago.
What are other examples of quick breads?
Oh, fuck you. I don't know.
All right.
I'm a clinical diet.
Fuck me.
I don't need to be tested right now.
They don't ask you that at the hospital.
They do not.
Anyway, and I remember she was eating it and she's like, and you don't even need to put sugar in it. And I was like, no, there's a lot of sugar in it, bitch. My mother-in-law is not a good cook. Like, Alex would disagree, but it's all just like wet cheese and okay, potatoes, as you know, we've discussed it.
I mean, Alex doesn't strike me as a particularly picky eater.
Right.
So.
He likes food.
Yes.
So, in any shape or size. So, I remember she would make this like apple cake that just like didn't taste of much. Mm-hmm. And I remember like she had made it for like when she had come to stay after I had my oldest, she like had made it. And like she has trained everyone in her family. After they eat her food, she kind of like stares at them and then they'll go, ta'im. Which means tasty. Like it's a required thing.
Yes.
It's on
she
reflex.
Like waits for it?
Yes. It's like on reflex.
Okay.
They have to be like ta'im, even though it's like, this is fish soup and that's fucking disgusting.
But really it's ta'im.
Ta'im. They all have to do it. And without even prompting, I remember this is what she goes. She says, yeah, it's easy. It's a little flour. And the reason I'm saying a little bit, because I'll do it in Hebrew, like, ksat kemech.
Okay.
Ksat sukar. Ksat tapuach. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, you just described baking. Like, flour, check. Sugar, check. Some kind of rising agent, check. It's still gross. That's all.
That's it. That was.
And I remember that.
Poor mother-in-law.
I couldn't. Yeah, sorry.
I think people have feelings on your feelings about your mother-in-law.
You know what? That's fine. They okay. can have feelings about it. I don't give a shit. Sorry.
Did you ever say ta'im, or you refused?
No, I don't compliment it. It's not good.
Does she wait for you, or she knows like
she waits for her husband and her boys?
Oh, does your sister-in-law compliment it?
I don't know. I'm not there. Who okay. knows? You know, the sister-in-law has, from what I saw, like, because she's like Russian, they have a different connection. Like,
right.
she can actually tell her, like, what, like, she can put her in her place.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you were Russian, would you be able to?
I mean, maybe. I
Why? Because she would respond? Because she doesn't respect you because you're not Russian? Like, what is the Russian?
I don't know what it is. They speak in Russian. And
oh, that's it.
First of all, she likes them. Yeah. And I think then she feels more comfortable like putting her in place.
Interesting.
Anyway.
I want to know what this Desitin one is.
I don't know. It got me rolling on my mother-in-law. So when she came and she would like watch our oldest and I don't think we had yet purchased like right when he was born. I hadn't yet purchased like an actual changing table.
Okay.
Because I was like, everything is a changing table.
Yeah. Actually, 9 out of 10 times I changed my kids on the floor. So
okay, so we had like a like a little ottoman thing that was next to our sofa. And I would put down like the baby, like the changing mat, and then change the baby on there. But like normally when you apply Desitin, let me ask you this. How many fingers do you use?
One.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a full palm. It was like a full hand. Like, and I would and I would watch her, and I just be, because she was never delicate. Like when, so when I first knew my husband and like whatever, I didn't dislike my mother-in-law as much. Okay. This started after Jester was born. Yeah. Okay. And, but she does not have like a soft touch.
Okay.
And I remember we're like,
well, because she's Russian.
I don't know what it is. But she was, when I was trying on my wedding dress, she was like, she's like, oh, I never dressed daughters. And she like, and I had like 1,000 buttons down my back. And so she was like trying to like help me unbutton them. And she was like so rough. And the entire time I was like, she's going to fucking break it. Like they should have been like very delicately done. And I could just feel it like pull, pull, pull. And then when it came to my wedding day, I was like, she's not allowed to touch my dress. Because I was like, yeah, she's going to break it right
before. I'm shocked that you would even like.
It was me being kind, you know? And then I was like, no, she's just... So she doesn't have, like, a delicate touch. Okay. Yes, you use one finger.
One finger.
She'd be 4 fingers deep.
And like... And Desitin doesn't and like come
three,
off.
And, like, 3 knuckles.
Ugh. I hate Desitin.
To the point where she, like, ruined her ottoman because there was just Desitin, like, all over it.
Ugh. And you can't even wash it off your hands, let alone furniture.
No. We had to throw it out.
Oh, man.
And I remember, like, telling this to, like, one of my co-residents, and he was laughing that in her mind she's just going, because it's good for you. You know, like, yes. I was like, that is what she's doing.
That is for sure what she's doing.
And I was like, who uses 4 palms? It was her entire paw.
Ugh. She just, like, rubbed it like hand cream?
No,
and then
but it was one hand, but it was, like, 4 palms.
She would squeeze it into her palm?
It wasn't. It was the tub. Yes.
Oh, she would stick her whole hand in the tub.
Yes, the whole hand
and
in
then
the
rub
tub
it on.
And just a copious amounts of Desitin and on the baby, on the changing thing, on the ottoman. I know. The other thing that I thought was funny was that Nadav fired his piano teacher, my 7-year-old. Like, we were casually talking in the kitchen. Like, my sons were doing their piano lessons 1/2 hour each, one after the other. And every time he would come, they would fight over who had to go first.
Okay. My
but
kids
the truth is,
awesome.
Like, my older son is good at it, and he likes it, and he actually will sit down and practice without me asking him to or whatever. And I don't want to make it a pressure thing, so honestly, I never make them practice. Like, I don't really care. It's, like, for them. Yeah. They can do what they do or don't want to do with it, whatever. And Nadav just never really seemed like he was into it. We were kind of casually talking. I was like, well, what do you like? Like, maybe you, do you want to try a different instrument or whatever? And I feel like he just took that as like, yep, we made a decision. I don't like it. And he literally, like, he had his lesson. And then he told his teacher, I like things like jujitsu and karate, and I don't want to play piano.
And that was it?
And then at the end, the reason we knew about this, I wasn't even home. He told Alex, he's like, so Nadav said he doesn't really want to do it, so we'll just go ahead and cancel his lesson. And I was like, well, Nadav just fired his piano teacher.
Good for Nadav.
But why is this teacher listening?
That's also the thing. Why is the teacher listening?
Because I think from his perspective.
This 7-year-old just
Because from his perspective,
me.
He's probably like, I don't want to be doing this anyway, but I certainly don't want to teach this little shit who's not interested.
No, that is 1,000% his perspective. Yeah, he doesn't want kids who are not interested. Right. Yeah.
So, but I
like
that
he
was...
would hear my kids throw a tantrum, and he told them like, well, if you're gonna yell and scream before the lesson, then we can't do the lesson. And I'm like, okay,
right. Well, listen,
he's
it's
right.
Not his job to parent them. Right?
No, so, he's right.
I don't know. It's funny because Alex was like, I don't know if I should be like upset or just proud of him.
Did you like talk to him about it?
No, we're leaning on proud of. Like, listen, he knew what he wanted and what he didn't want, and he put the kibosh on it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but don't you feel like
they
should
like,
talk
I
to you
hate
first?
You. He just said to him, like, this is what I'm interested in, and this
I know,
is what
but
I'm
don't
not.
You feel
the
like...
piano teacher, you mean?
No, Nadav. He should have said, like, you should have had a conversation about
it. I think we
it.
Probably did. I think we probably did say, like, you know, we weren't saying that you could end it, but it, since you did.
Like, I want my kids, I want to encourage my kids to take ownership and, like, but also there are certain things where, like, they need to discuss it with me first.
I guess he thought we had our brief discussion.
Your brief about what
he like took that and he was like, yes, mother and father, I concur. Karate.
And
is my,
I will fire
I like
him.
Ninjas in karate and I am now done with this.
But now Yoav took that lesson, right? And he's doing
guitar. Does guitar.
Does he like it?
Yeah.
Guitar's hard. Guitar it's harder than piano. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's going to be like that prodigy at all the recitals. That's going to be Yoav.
Well, that's
that one kid who does piano
I feel
and guitar.
Like that's what he wants to be. He
really?
Saw that
good
kid
for him.
And now he's like, I want to
like,
be that
I can
kid.
Do that and I can do it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, wait. There was one other one. Oh, when you tell your kids not to do something?
Okay.
Actually, you were over when this happened. We have those like, okay, so it's when you tell your kids not to do something, then they go and do it, then they get hurt because they did, or something happened because they did the thing that you told them not to do, and you're like, well, you fucking deserved it. Like,
no empathy for that.
No empathy. But sometimes it's like sad because like, so you were actually over. We were like, it was one of the random nights.
I mean, this stuff happens all the time.
It was one of the random nice days out, and we were all outside. And we have like those poles in our, those sticks in our drive, in our driveway. Yeah. Everyone has them here for the, it's fiberglass for the plows. So like they so line they the driveway. Exactly. But they're fiberglass. And I think actually you told me that a friend's son last year touched it and got like.
No, I've probably seen it in the urgent care.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so I tell
it
my
happens
kids,
by the pool all the time. Cause I,
what's
the pool? I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, whatever. I specifically, because I saw my kids touching it that day that we were out. I'm like, guys, don't touch them. Like, don't. They're, like, rubbing their hands on it. And, like, those are glass. You could get little shards of glass in your hands.
Though sometimes there's wooden spikes. Why don't they just do the wooden spikes?
I don't know. We have the fiberglass ones everywhere.
I don't know.
You have wooden ones.
We have wooden or plastic.
You have wooden, I think. And they obviously, so
they
we're
touched
like,
it. Yeah.
My Audrey
she's
freaking
like, I have glass in my hand.
Touched it. And then she starts hysterical crying that her hand hurts and she has glass in her hands. And I'm just like, well, I told you not. Like, literally no empathy. Right. Just yelling at her that I told you not to touch it. And she's like, but I did it.
Is this
it
is where you hug them and at the same time go, this is what happens don't listen.
Right. I don't even know if I hugged her. I'm just like, this is why you need to listen to mommy.
You weren't that unsympathetic. I was there.
Was I sympathetic? Yeah. I think I yelled at her first. And then I was like, all right. It's okay. Let's get it out. I know it hurts.
This is akin to like. Well, I wanted, when I was younger and wanting to see if the Mr. Coffee was hot, so I put my hand on it.
Right.
It was.
It's very hot. But it's like these things I specifically tell my kids, and I think they think that I tell them not to do something because I'm
just,
mean.
Just a sport.
Right. And I hate fun.
Right.
But it's like, no, you dumbass. It's because you're going to get hurt. And
well,
then
children
do it,
are inherently stupid.
It's freaking, but then I have no sympathy for them.
That's tough.
Which is hard.
It's tough. Yeah.
Or the first, I do have sympathy, but the first thing out of my mouth is, see?
Right.
See? That's why I told you.
You know, because it's frustrating.
And then I'm an asshole.
Well, it's just, it's frustrating, obviously, to be around children all the time. And they're learning the way of the world. And we can't always be humble.
Right.
Sometimes you just want to be like, I fucking told you and I'm over it.
I do that all the time. Right. Yes.
It's like, I always feel like in the morning, I maybe start off with a certain amount of patience. And depending how much time I am with my children, it's going to run out.
Always.
And at some point, and it's funny because like, I would say Yoav specifically is very good at sensing this now.
Is he?
Because he, yes. Because he'll like see when I'm like reaching my brim and he will try to control the other kids and be like, all right, guys, guys, let's listen to mom. Because he knows.
Good for him.
I have another one.
What are you eating?
No,
I didn't tell you you could have an ice pop.
I didn't eat another ice cream.
Oh, what? She did?
Why
are you taking ice pops and ice cream?
No, I didn't eat.
You're also, no, you cannot have ice cream now. Sure. I thought you were. Go watch the movie like a good kid, please.
Goodbye.
Okay, go watch TV.
I love how she gave you that look right now. That, I was you... like, fuck you, motherfucker.
And she knows she's going to
I got it in my hand and you're not taking it away.
Well, and did I take it away?
No,
she knows. She just won.
She just looked back at you at like, no, you're a fucking loser. This is my ice cream now.
She's right. I am a fucking loser because I just let her have it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I just don't give a shit.
I know. And then I think I think that my kids can sense. Last that night, mommy doesn't actually give a shit, so we're going to do what we want.
Last night we got home and I hadn't actually had anything planned for dinner. And I literally just, sorry, my
I see you
my nose ring.
Playing with your nose ring.
I made an announcement to the kids and I literally said, I don't specifically have anything for dinner. And your options are like cereal, yogurt, or whatever you can find in the fridge. And the kids were like, can we have cookies? I'm like, I don't care. Like, whatever you want. Don't ask me for anything and don't bother me.
That's a good day for them.
Yeah. I was like, you can scavenge whatever you can find because I'm done.
But what I was going to say before is I think part of why my first reaction is always like, see, that's what, because I'm like a little bit hopeful that maybe they'll learn their lesson. Mm-mm. Maybe if I say that, they'll be like, oh, yeah, the next time mommy says we shouldn't do something, I will remember this.
They don't remember.
No, they don't remember fucking shit.
Do you want to wrap it up?
No, there was something else I wanted to say.
Okay.
Oh, I just have a good story.
Okay, tell us
the story.
It's
an offering a worker a drink.
Okay. Oh, yeah. What is that? No, what's that about?
Oh, you do know the story. So we actually just got a new grill. It's a gas grill. I'm very excited.
Okay.
And on Friday, we like had a plumber come over.
Are you saving it for Pesach?
We are.
Oh, a worker. I thought you meant a co-worker.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what's the problem with that?
No. Okay. Oh, like, I didn't know how to word it. Okay. Like a worker person. Well, I don't know. Whatever.
Like someone working at your house.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we had this plumber come over on Friday to hook it up. And yes, I'm saving it for Pesach. I'm very excited. It's going to make cooking much easier. And it was like a rainy, gross day. And like, I always do this. I don't know if you do this. When someone comes into your house.
Yeah, I offer them something.
You offer them something. Right. I think that's a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
Right. Does Alex? Because yes. Ellie's like, I would never.
He does, because actually the reason I started doing that is it's a very Israeli thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, if someone's in your home or comes by, whatever, and it's a hot, like, even if I see the male person and it's a hot day, I might offer
really? Something. Really? Yeah. So I've never to the male person.
No, I think, I do think it's like a very Israeli thing, or they're just like, oh, this person is here, it's a whatever.
That's
so
funny. Yeah.
So I feel like ever since living in Israel, I typically order, I offer people.
Well, okay, so I offer, and I always do. Do you want water, coffee? Generally, they say no.
I don't know that I ever offer them a coffee. Because then I have to make it. But I do offer, like, water or soda or whatever drink they have around.
So I offer coffee.
Okay.
And
he accepted?
And he was like, oh, coffee sounds really nice. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. And I'm like, I'll make it for you right now. And I was very happy to make him a cup of coffee. It was a cold, gross, rainy day. He's outside hooking up my grill. I'm like, this is
great. How did he take it?
Okay. You mean, like, what did he want in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he said he likes milk and cream.
Okay.
So I was like, whatever. So he finishes the grill. Uh-huh. Very nice, like, lovely man. Finishes the grill. He's like outside on my deck, and I'm like, okay, like, thank you so much.
Wait, quick question, young man or old man?
Old man.
Okay.
He's an older gentleman.
Thank you. Now I have the picture.
Yes, he's an older gentleman, okay. Like, probably in his late 60s.
Oh.
He's a retired plumber. He worked at the hardware store where we bought the grill.
Okay.
And he was like, nothing. Like, all these plumbers wanted, like, over $200. Like, we have a gas line. We just needed to connect it. $75. That's it.
Okay.
Perfect. Very nice older man.
Yeah.
I hand him a check. I made the coffee in a to-go cup.
Mm-hmm.
I hand him
the
coffee.
And you're like, now you go.
And I was like, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you. Here's your coffee. Like, thank you very much.
End of transaction.
Correct. And he's like, oh, no, that's okay. I'll come in and drink my coffee. And he comes into my house, takes his shoes off, brings his coffee to the counter, and sits on my counter for 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Drinking his coffee.
45 minutes.
I'm in middle of cooking. This is Friday.
Did you chat?
Yes. I was like, oh, you don't have another place? He's like, no, I got nowhere to be. I'm happy to sit and drink my coffee.
That's hilarious.
Yes. He's like, oh, so I see your pictures on the wall. You have three kids. Want to tell me about them? How old are they? I'm like,
well, was he interesting? Don't you sometimes love a nice old man?
No, he was not interesting. He was actually very nice.
But not interesting.
He was telling me about his dog that he took to a dog show in New York. He's never had kids. He's married. Never had kids. Always wanted kids.
Oh, you found out a lot about him.
I found out way too much about him. And then actually at one point, one of our friends came by to pick something up. And she's like, Aliza, do you want me to stay? I'm like, no, I think it's fine. She's like, no, I'm a little nervous for you. I don't want to
I don't think I'd be nervous, but it's interesting because, yeah, normally it's when they're heading out. Like I say, like, oh, would you like something for your way? You know?
So I did it when he came. But like 45 minutes, the man said, I'm like cooking. He's schmoozing with me. I'm like, what is happening? Get out of my house.
That is unusual.
Yes.
I've never experienced that.
Took his shoes off, made himself at home.
So here's the interesting thing too. Like,
I was a little nervous. So I get nervous about these things.
Part of why I do this also is that my father-in-law, he doesn't do this anymore, but for a while he used to do like drywall and like small, like, to be honest, like he redid his whole apartment, so he can do like electrical, he probably can do some plumbing, whatever. So he was like a handyman, but they did this for a while, like, as a business. They would do drywall and like painting and stuff like that, and sometimes my husband would go work with him, and he said, like, on those days sometimes, like, the people they were working for would offer them lunch, and they would sit and eat lunch with the family.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Again, it's Israel. I bet a lot of their clients were Russian.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's definitely a cultural thing. No one in America.
But maybe it's just old school, you know? Maybe it's like, I'm 60 and I'm sitting down.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. He was like, I got nowhere to be. I'm like,
all right.
Okay.
And so then I feel finally, like if I were you, I would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just have to head out.
Okay, so
you
I
should have
sucked
just, like, driven
things
to my house.
Well, and then when our friend came, she's like, why don't you just tell him you have to come with me? Right. And I, like, try to, but I'm also really bad at it.
And he was like, oh, I'll hold down the fort.
No, I just, like, didn't do a good job. And then finally I was like, oh, well, I've got an appointment soon I have to get to. And he's like, oh, okay, so I'll wrap it up. And he stayed in front of the, like, 10 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yes. This poor man had nothing to do. All but right. I was like,
see, that's it, man.
No, maybe that's what Ellie said also. Ellie was like, it's a mitzvah. He was bored. Yeah. And he didn't know where to go. Yeah. And I'm like, it's a little weird.
It sounds lovely.
He was a very nice man. But like, get out of my house.
No, anyway. I agree. That's a little, it's unorthodox.
When he literally took the coffee.
Are you going to offer future?
No, never. Just water. Really? Bottled water. I will offer them bottled water and that's it.
Okay.
Yes. And, right, they, and on the way out.
Knock on the door.
I know. It's time. All right. And on that note.
Okay. This has been another episode of our homage. A Freilich and Purim, everyone.
I will let you know.
What's a better way to say that?
Happy Purim.
Okay. Follow us on Instagram. We really need to put out another reel soon. Also talk about our race coming up because I've had a couple questions about it. So, all right. Bye-bye.